The Vietnam War, it's over.
Your job just begun.
A new HBO original limited series.
Welcome to the world of Spycraft. Strap in.
From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr.
What are you concealing?
Based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel by Viet Thanh Nguyen.
What if I told you that I was a communist spy?
How did you become this?
The Sympathizer, streaming April 14th on Max. Subscription required.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Everybody, and welcome to another episode of Horror Movie Night. This week we are talking about Wrong Turn, which is a movie from the early 2000s, so you know it was a Kyle pick.
Wait, no, it's not. I picked this one, Scott, buddy.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I wasn't far behind, man. I was following him down that road. I was all for it.
So this is my cannibal whoopsie for the...
Right.
Well, I mean, it's not even a cannibal whoopsie. It's literally cannibals. How about a cannibal intentional? But yeah, I picked this one because we've been just riding that late 90s, early 2000s vibe for most of October, and just wanted to bring it into November with a little bit more. And also Eliza Dushku's finest era, which is the late 90s, early 2000s.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was the reasoning for that. It was cannibals for Thanksgiving.
Look, you mentioned Eliza Dushku.
Gorgeous.
But my second favorite person in this movie, you know, some of us are Eliza fans, and some of us are Emanuela fans.
Oh, you mean great value Eliza Dushku?
I love her. She's been in She was in so many things when I was a kid. We'll talk about it. It influenced my double feature. But I didn't know she was in this. This is my first time watching this movie.
What?
Really?
Really,
that's crazy.
So here's the thing you have to remember. So this came out in like 2003. This was around that exact point, maybe my sophomore, junior year of high school, where I was just done with new horror movies. I just had no interest. And I took maybe like a 2 or 3 year sabbatical from seeing any new horror movies when they came out. I was just like, all of them are the same. They're not that entertaining. I don't like them. And then it was like I blinked and all of a sudden there was 8 Wrong Turn movies. And I was just like, okay, well, there's a franchise I'm just never going to watch.
You know what I got to say? The best thing about the first 5 minutes of this episode already is the fact that I'm pretty sure each one of us has chosen a different woman from this as like the attraction. I went with Eliza. You went with Emmanuel. Kyle absolutely 100% went with Lindy Booth. So
a million percent. I've said this time and time again. Once a month at least. So just wait till Cry Wolf happens. I'm threatening it.
You've been threatening it pretty regularly.
Don't threaten me with that kind of a good time because I want it.
Right. Well, then we have to pick the guys now. Well, I'm definitely still Lindy
Jeremy
Booth's
Sisto.
Boyfriend.
Jeremy Sisto.
Well, the best thing about it is that Emmanuel and Jeremy Sisto went from this immediately to Entourage, right?
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah.
Amazing. Incredible. Yeah.
That's crazy. This is the first time watch for you, dude. I watched this movie countless times. This was a DVD that my stepdad had, and he didn't have a lot of movies for whatever reason, but he had this one. He had this DVD for I don't know why.
This was like one of those movies that every once in a while there's a horror movie that like explodes out of the fandom just into somehow being like this widely mainstream known movie. And for some reason, Wrong Turn was one of those movies.
It's
like
exactly what you think it is. It's because Eliza Dushku is in it, and she was the hot girl in Buffy. She was the hot girl in The New Guy.
And Bring It On.
Oh, she's in that's right, Bring It On, which would have been...
When she plays the exact same character in Bring It On as she does here, where she just fucking busts out with this one line. She's just like, that was no accident. It's like... Bitch. Okay.
Okay. She's a very intense actress.
She's fucking intense. Very intense.
And you know, you can't trust Lindy Booth in this either. Because first she steals your fluids. That's a disturbing behavior reference. And then she steals your power bars.
Mm-hmm.
She's insatiable.
You can't trust her. Yeah.
So the only Wrong Turn movies I've literally seen are this one in part six that we've covered for the
show. And I don't expect... You know, there was a part of me that was going to power through and watch the 2021 remake of Wrong Turn. And then I was like, why?
Yeah.
I was so underwhelmed with this shit. Because this is my second watch, definitely my last. Because I really just did this for what I said. I was like, it's cannibals around Thanksgiving and it's early 2000s. This movie doesn't really have a whole lot else to say.
it's also, and I said this to you, Scott, today, but it's like, this is just not my franchise, you know what I mean? And I think a big part of it is that it's pulling inspiration from so many movies that I just kind of tolerate, you know what I mean?
It's just The Hills Have Eyes.
It's The Hills Have Eyes. It's a little bit of Deliverance. It's like, mm-hmm. I've just never been into people trapped in the backwoods and aren't the South crazy type movies. And that's coming from someone who obviously loves Texas Chainsaw Massacre, but I think what TCM is such a very specific, special combination of things that a lot of those other movies that were inspired by or trying to be similar to just never really hit. I mean, I didn't hate watch it, but it definitely quickly became something that was just sort of on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Once they get to the cabin, and I mean, it's not just because my girl's dead at this point. It's not. I promise you.
It's not because she's just about the kills, because this movie is really about the kills. I didn't really enjoy that.
Up until a certain point, I thought this was a PG-13 movie. In all sincerity, I was like, this is tame as hell. I would say I thought that this was a PG-13 movie until approximately the best kill in the movie, which is the axe through the mouth where the body falls and the head is still up there. But literally up until that moment, I was like, this is tame as shit. So much so that there are not one, not two, but three IMDb trivia facts just saying that this is the only film in the franchise with no nudity or sex in it.
Thank you, everybody.
Yeah.
It's like a warning at that point, right? It's not just trivia. It's like, guys, don't watch it. There's nothing for
you. You're not coming to Wrong Turn for... Yeah. Oh, well, you're not coming to Wrong Turn for
you're
that.
Not coming to Wrong Turn at all.
But, I actually went through Emmanuel Shrieky?
Oh, I actively referred to her by her first name for a reason.
Shrieky Deaky.
I went all the way to her beginning, to 2000. And
don't
I was like,
you
oh,
ruin my double feature.
Oh, I know exactly why Matt has a crush on her. I love the fact that we've spent more time talking about that than we have the cannibals in this movie, because how do they live?
Yeah,
they don't have any refrigeration. They are not smoking the meat. They're just ripping people apart and having a good time. I don't even know how they're and they're saving teeth and eyes and they're not even
cars.
Pickling stuff and cars. No. I don't even know how this works. At least in 2001 Maniacs, we have a little bit of an understanding that there's a whole town that needs to eat. They're not obligate cannibals. They're just I guess we'll eat people every once a year.
They're also ghost pickling cannibals
eyes.
Anyway.
Oh, you're right, dude. My whole concept is ruined out the window.
But I didn't mean to pull it out from under you, but you're correct, because I don't know what the fuck these people do. And then the fact that the whole franchise goes on to focus on these cannibals and give them names when I could give
their names
give
are
a shit.
So
isn't one
pointless.
Like grin or smile.
It's Saw teeth.
Oh yeah, Saw teeth. Thank you.
One eye and three fingers.
Three fingers.
Like those are Land Before Time dinosaur names.
All right, Matt, you know what? We can't record any more episodes with you for the year because that's the best joke of 2022 that you have. Fuck me, that's good. Did you have that written down?
No, we already finished all my notes about 5 minutes ago. Do we have any other thoughts? I don't want us to wrap up in 13 minutes, but
nobody gives a fuck.
I laughed the fuck out loud when Homeboy gets... I forget his character's name or his actor's name. It doesn't matter. It's not Jeremy Sisto, but it's the other guy, the main guy who we follow, who totals his car.
Oh, Desmond.
Yeah, Desmond. When Desmond runs away to, like, wave down the hillbillies and be a distraction, and he fucking just gets shot in the leg straight up, like, no, just like, okay.
I'm sorry. His name is Chris. Chris. Desmond Harrington is the actor's name.
Okay. Right.
Yeah, I love that, and I also loved how I don't even remember. Is it Emmanuel's character, Carly, when she gets like a bunch of arrows in the back? Is that when she dies?
Sisto got a bunch of arrows.
Yes.
Yeah.
She watched Sisto get a bunch of arrows.
Scott. Scott is Jeremy Sisto's name.
I really did turn off my brain at some point.
None of these people's names. Okay, we got Eliza Dushku is Jesse. I only know this because I'm looking at IMDb. She's Jesse. Jeremy Sisto is Scott, which I should have remembered, but I didn't. Emmanuel is Carly. Desmond is Chris. Kevin Zegers is Evan. I believe that's Lindy Booth's boyfriend who gets... Mm-hmm. pulled into the woods, and then Lindy Booth is Francine.
Dumbass name.
Yeah. I mean, like, why did they give her an 80-year-old woman's name?
Twig redhead, and her name's Francine.
Like, you know, here's another thing though that I want to look. It's how do I word this? It's not our job to poke holes in the logic of dumb horror movies.
They do well enough.
Because there's no point in it. But I feel like when I watch something like Texas Chainsaw Massacre, when I watch something like The Hills Have Eyes, even when, you know, I watch something like 2001 Maniacs, I'm not really thinking too hard about, like, how the fuck are they getting away with this? But, like, when you see that many abandoned cars and that many body parts, it's like... No one is checking the same area where literally hundreds of human beings have gone missing.
Bro, I've seen hoarders too. Like, even if they are way off the beaten path, the state will come. The state will show up and question what the fuck's going on. Well, and you can't hide all your jars of teeth.
Yeah.
I mean,
as many people as they've killed, they only have like two jars of teeth.
Yeah.
Like, I'm keeping a lot more teeth than that, you know? Like, how else are you going to get your calcium out there?
They made the rest into necklaces already. Those are just for reserve for later.
They've done their crafts. Yeah. It's like my aunt who has like 3 dozen things of beads. So she's made 10 necklaces in her life, but she has all the beads for many more.
Think about Christmas time with the cannibal boys from Wrong Turn. It's like, oh, thanks, Sawtooth. Another tooth necklace. It's like every year, it's the exact same thing. You're like, oh, I guess I'll put this with my other 6 teeth necklaces.
Hey, Three Fingers, here's gloves with the fingers cut off.
That's some Gift of the Magi shit right there. Why didn't we do this for our Christmas episode, guys? Damn.
I haven't seen any of the other Wrong Turns. Wrong Turn 2 is really fun because Henry Rollins is in it and Joe Lynch directed it, and it's a little gorier and sillier.
That's the only other one I'd even be open to maybe doing on this show. Not a franchise I feel like we need to check off the list of, oh, we've done them all.
I really have no desire to see it. My coworker said number 4 is her. I don't trust her one bit, but she I don't trust her at all.
Anybody says Wrong Turn 4, that they've actually, if anybody admits seeing Wrong Turn 4, much less, oh, that's my favorite of the franchise, implying that they've seen more than the first 4.
That's very sus.
I'm very suspicious of. I sent a screenshot to Brian the other day because we were talking about Halloween Ends, and I sent him a screenshot that someone, I don't even remember who this was. It was someone I was following on Facebook, and it was a picture of Halloween 6, Curse of Michael Myers, and they said, oof, After that disgrace, I had to watch my favorite in the Halloween franchise. And I sent it to Brian. He goes, everybody has a right to their own opinions except for that guy because it is distinctly wrong.
And Jocelyn, I'm sorry, you've been deemed wrong.
Yeah, like, I feel like that's deemed. The person who's like, oh, no. You got to wait until part four. That's when the franchise really picks up steam.
Really opens up. You find out the origin of One Eye. And yeah. It's like, I don't fucking care.
I do have one more note. It's an IMDb trivia piece that I copied and pasted because I thought that it was kind of wild until I remembered that this movie came out in 2003. But still kind of fucked up. So William Thomas of Empire said of Wrong Turn 1, it's better than any of the official Texas Chainsaw Massacre sequels, which is probably a good thing. Which I was like, oh yeah, that's before they did all those reboots and all the weird shit in the late 2010s that I haven't watched. And then I'm like, wait a minute.
That's still after TCM2.
Yes, like, which is crazy. He's saying Wrong Turn 1 is... like significantly demonstrably better than TCM2, which that dude is dead to me.
That's the dumbest thing. Like even the Leatherface 3 is
I would say that's comparable to this at least.
Yeah.
I'd be like, okay, that's on par.
I would probably watch Wrong Turn 1 again before watching Leatherface TCM 3 just because that movie is one of those expectation versus reality things that we've talked mm-hmm. where that trailer got me so so bricked up, and then the resulting lack of an Excalibur moment with the chainsaw.
Why would they do that to us?
Well, I think I later read that was bullshit. Like one of those because, like, why is this trailer? Like, why is this the trailer? And it's like, because they didn't even have a script done when they decided, hey, let's announce we're doing DCF 3. And someone's like, all right,
but
we've got to make
you
a trailer
sell that
for
idea.
It.
Okay, listen, if Full Moon, or if basically anything that Charles Band has touched, can, or even a lot of Corman shit, if it can be sold on an elevator pitch, a tagline, or literally a poster. How is it that they filmed an entire amazing trailer for Leatherface TCM3 with what could have been the most amazing tone, which was basically going off of the more lighthearted tone of TCM2, make it a completely ridiculous, almost meta version of TCM, which is what we got with Next Generation, but we won't go there because Kyle has made us go there already. But they already had their proof of concept. And then they were like, no, let's do something completely banal. Like that TCM3 is so forgettable. The only thing I remember is that Leatherface has like the speak and spell, and he says food every time he sees a clown. That's the only thing I remember from it, which puts him on par like IQ-wise with the cannibals in the Wrong Turn series.
No kidding. Yeah. No.
Well, Kyle, what were you?
It's lame.
I've been seeing you taking some sips in the back though, real quick.
Oh,
what are you sipping on?
I got to get Road to Ruin from Two Roads.
Yeah.
Because we are on the road to ruin by taking a wrong turn onto the road to... Do you guys get it?
I get it.
Can you explain it a little bit more? Because Matt doesn't drink, so...
temptingly hoppy ale.
No, I'm just very, very entertained that ever since Kyle has started using backgrounds, it has made it so difficult for him to find where
it's
to
so
hold his.
It's so hard.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Do you like to laugh, geek out on music, and learn all about that band or artist who had that one song back in the day, but then seemed to fall off the face of the earth? If so, you need to subscribe to One Hit Thunder. Together with an array of interesting and hilarious guests, we do a weekly dive into one-hit wonders like Eiffel 65's Blue, Krayshawn's Gucci Gucci, EMF's Unbelievable, Delamitri's Roll to Me, Los Del Rio's Macarena, Musical Youth's Pass to Dutchie, and even Patrick Swayze's She's Like the Wind. So are you subscribed to One Hit Thunder or what? As Desiree would say, you gotta be. And as K7 would encourage, you gotta come, baby, come and join in on the fun of the One Hit Thunder podcast.
Scott, what is your double feature?
I actually have forgotten what my double feature is, but I think I remember. Hold on. Oh, I'm sorry, because this is like the most duh double feature, but Tucker and Dale just saved my night. You start with Wrong Turn and then you end with Tucker and Dale because it's the perfect antidote to the copperhead poison of Wrong Turn.
I heard everything you said.
I don't know.
I am going to go with the one that Scott was implying I was going to go with, Snow Day.
Because
my girl in this was also the the romantic love lead in Snow Day.
Is that where Haiku's Perfect Day is from?
No. Hoku's was another dumb blonde from that one.
Thank you. Okay.
Yes.
Thank wow. You. Guys. Deep cuts.
Love you, Matt Kelly.
Listen, one day, maybe this winter, we will tackle that as a soundtracking because, man, does that have a lot of ska music
please?
On it for some reason.
Can we please? Can you not tempt me with these things? Because, like, you and Kyle are just
I'll add it to the
dangling
list right
the
now,
fucking
so
carrot
forget.
In front of me.
Kyle, how about your double feature?
I'm going to go with Jugface. I just want to stay in Appalachia.
Can I not come over for that?
Scott, I would understand if you had to go homesick. I get it. I know it's totally different tonally, but I like the environment.
I
like Jugface.
The concept is great. The lore is cool. Is really cool. I just can't do the capital I in that movie.
I hear you.
Yeah.
I hear you.
I think that it's a pretty cool idea, but just not.
No, it's a little aggressive. Content-wise. Yeah.
What have y'all been watching that you want to talk about? Scott, we'll throw to you first.
Finally watched Scream 5, and I enjoyed it. I don't know. I think I have to watch Scream 4 again to see if I like it as much as Scream 4, but I definitely like it more than Scream 2 and 3. But it was good.
As someone who really enjoyed Scream 5, I know people are like getting all up in arms that they're like, Nev Campbell's not even supposed to be in Part 6. And for me, I think, good. I feel like they finally created like young teens that I care about seeing a second time.
Yeah.
And like, I don't want to see them wheeling out like 50-year-old Courtney Cox and Nev Campbell to fight Ghostface again. Like, let them live their lives happily. And let's focus on these new teens already. Like,
yeah, I love where they went with it. And I'll be sounding like a broken record when we talk about Hellraiser 2022 and Halloween Ends, where I like the fact that these franchises really went with a kind of a, I don't want to say plot-driven concept, but more of like this, it's more conceptual. It's more like, let's pave the way for, we've trod this ground very, very well. Let's try to go a little bit different with it. And I thought that was, I really liked that about Scream 5. And the line that really just stuck with me was, how can a fandom be toxic? Which was just incredible. The other thing I wanted to mention was Deadstream, which is streaming on Shudder right now. As I watched it the day that it hit Shudder. It's
You're
so
like
good.
Always on top of those Shudder exclusives.
It's because I just love what they do. Yeah. I mean, Shudder really, I realized, and I really wish that I would have said something last month, that I know the day that is my Shudder anniversary, and this is year 7. I have been a Shudder member for over 6 years now, and I
love
have
this
not.
For you.
Thank you so. I'd like to thank the Academy, but it's money well spent because there's so much that I wouldn't have been exposed to without it. I mean, I love their dedication to small indie horror. I've seen so much good shit. Hellbenders is still probably my number one for this year, and that was a Shudder exclusive. They also curate some cool old shit. Like, there's a bunch of Japanese stuff from the 60s that they a spook theater or something like that I watched it that it was like I half watched it, but it's just so good. That's all I was getting at.
Mm-hmm. Well, Shudder's, I always use Shudder as an example of like when I'm trying to convince people to sign up for it, I'm like, Shudder's the reason why Netflix and Hulu have dog shit horror movie selections.
Don't talk shit like, on Hulu, dude.
Because Hulu got actually really good recently.
As far as horror goes, if you only have two streaming services, I would say if you want horror, it's Shudder and it's Hulu. It's not Amazon Prime, because Amazon Prime has so much, but has so much trash that you can probably find on Tubi for free. So yeah. If you're going to pay for subscriptions, I would say number two should be Hulu, because they have upped their game so well. And it's not
Netflix
just new content.
Netflix is just like also straight to DVD garbage.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, I've watched stuff on Netflix that's fine, but it's really people are going to Netflix for the docs and they're going for the TV shows. You're not going for movies there, in my opinion.
No, not anymore.
At least not our people.
No, and I think the success of I would imagine the success of Hellraiser will hopefully continue to push Hulu to do stuff like that.
Yeah, Prey and Hellraiser.
Yeah, well, right. Yeah, Prey. Yeah, exactly.
It's a good year
exactly.
for Hulu's properties.
How about you, Kyle? What have you been watching?
I can't tell you how upset I am that I've not watched Hellraiser or Halloween Ends yet to talk to you guys about them. It's soul hurting. But I did watch Mirror from 1990.
Dude, fuck. Did you watch it on Tubi?
I watched it. Okay. Roku channel tricked me.
Oh, that's cool.
Because when I looked on Roku, it said that it was in HD. And you fucking know. It was the same transfer that Tubi had, if not worse. Just because they uploaded it in 1080p does not mean that the footage is 1080p.
But here's the question is, do you really need to see Mirror Mirror 1990 in 1080p?
I would like to see it a little bit better than whatever I watched it in.
Oh, man, looks like you're gonna have to buy that blue, buddy.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure I witnessed that movie for the very first time when it was my free DVD at VHSPS trying to find the, like, you know, buy four, get the fifth one free. I was like, I don't know, I'll give Mirror Mirror a shot.
You know what? Fun movie. It felt like made-for-TV Amityville meets Heathers.
So we'll be doing it.
Yeah, we should. It's one that I would love to do in the future.
I know that Tom is out there he's about to be screaming his fucking face off, but it's on my very long list.
So I've actually, this has been a rarity for me over the last couple months post-pandemic, but I've actually been shockingly on top of all of the new releases. So I'll talk about two films that are about a month old now. I say you should check them out. I think the internet was very divided on one and just straight up hated the other, but I enjoyed both of them. The Munsters was as fun as a PG Munsters kids movie was going to be. And same could be said with Hocus Pocus. Hocus Pocus 2 was as fun as a 29-year-old sequel.
Yeah. Do you want to know how hard it's been to get Megan to watch that? She doesn't want to watch it at all, but then I was like, Hannah Waddingham is in it, and she's wearing a corset, and Megan was like, put it on. We haven't finished it. Those who aren't in the know, Hannah Waddingham is the woman that will eventually break up my marriage.
Gotcha. All right. Well, then. Yeah, I mean, I think they're both, they're fun. They are, if you're going into it with the attitude of, I know what this movie is, and in both of those cases, they are films for children.
So they're right in your wheelhouse.
Then they're fine. Well, because here's the argument that I'll make with the Munsters, and this is, you can get my full unedited thoughts on both these movies weirdly on Christmas 365 episodes, because Dylan just uses that as his personal movie review podcast.
Oh, okay.
As well. But like with the Munsters, I'm not going to say it's a masterpiece. What I will say is that I was less angry at the Munsters than I have been at either of the CGI Addams Family movies that have come out in the last 5 years. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I think that those movies are way more pandering to kids than the Munsters were. Like, it's just, it's bright colors and craziness. So I was content with it. Do I think I'll sit down and actively rewatch either of them, like, in the near future? No, but they might find their way back on my TV screen one of these days.
Yeah.
That's my review on both of those films. So that was Wrong Turn 2003, as picked by Scott, not Kyle. And we will be back next week with a film that would kind of work as a double feature to Wrong Turn. I feel like I'll be having to defend a little bit, but we'll see how that goes.
He will.
We'll be back, guys. Bye.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.